The Gospel challenges two pieces of popular wisdom. The first is that someone who has had a particularly negative experience will automatically be sympathetic and understanding towards another person having a similar experience. A lot of pastoral care and counseling support operates on this basis, and it seems reasonable. We expect that those who have experienced a particular loss or anxiety will be better placed to help others undergoing that loss or feeling that anxiety. So we expect that the servant who is in debt will understand his fellow servant who is in debt to him. But the servant in the gospel parable has no sympathy for the man who owes him money, even though his own creditor had just released him from a much greater debt. His action is astonishing to those looking on, and it remains astonishing to us, to the point where we may well be unmoved by the torture to which he is subjected at the end of the parable. We might even find ourselves rejoicing in their torture and saying, "Well, serves him right." And this is the wonderful trap set by the parable, because we then find ourselves behaving just as he did. Who is he except a character in a story with a fictional debt? And who are we except real sinners who have been released by God from a real debt, the consequence of our sins? We might imagine the wicked servant turning his head on the rack, looking towards us with bloodshot eyes and saying, "So you think you are different from me? Which of you, even though you have been released by God from the debt of your sins, has not sometimes refused to forgive others? Which of you has not borne grudges and nursed hurts? Has not maneuvered to get away with things yourself while calling others strictly to account?" The other piece of popular wisdom challenged by the gospel is that human beings make progress by forgiving and forgetting. Once again, it seems reasonable to offer such advice to people who cannot leave behind some sad experience or painful betrayal. Try to forgive and forget. You've got to move on and not allow this thing to continue to poison your life. But the readings today tell us that forgiveness is possible not by forgetting the past, but by remembering it, by remembering more about the past, by remembering our present situation, and by remembering our future destiny. If popular wisdom says forgive and forget, biblical wisdom, coming to a high point in Christ, says, "Remember, and so learn forgiveness." The wicked servant's colleagues are astonished that he could so quickly forget the mercy he had been shown. If you or I find it difficult to forgive somebody, then we can begin here, by remembering the times we have been forgiven. It is not reasonable to expect forgiveness and mercy if you are not prepared to show them. It is absurd to continue to ask mercy of God if you are not prepared to show mercy to others. We need to remember that much, at least. But there are other things we ought to remember as we try to forgive. Remember the end of your life, the Bible tells us. Remember destruction and death. How will it seem looking back if you have not been able to find a way to forgive? Each of us, after all, must give an account of himself or herself to God. And where will we be then? Anxious to be forgiven, but not understanding what forgiveness means because we have not practiced it ourselves. Remember and forgive. Remember the covenant of the Most High, the new and everlasting covenant, sealed not by a fictional, heartless servant stretched out on a rack, but by the real Son of God nailed to the cross. If you want to learn forgiveness, remember how the human heart of the eternal Word was pierced. Remember how that blood dissolved the walls of hostility between people and established peace. It is not a case of forgiving and forgetting. It is a case of remembering, remembering many things, and so learning what forgiveness means. Those who believe in Jesus are to be ambassadors of forgiveness in the world and messengers of reconciliation. but forgiveness is not easy to do, and the capacity to forgive is not one that is achieved by a mere act of the will. No matter how powerful we consider our willpower, we cannot force ourselves into forgiveness. In the end, it is a gift from God. As the popular saying says, to err is human, to forgive divine. Because forgiveness is not about forgetting, but remembering, forgiveness on our part does not depend on the worthiness or the contriteness of the one who has wronged us, whether it is someone who has told us a white lie or someone who has bombed our city. Forgiveness is something we must do because it primarily changes us. It frees us, first of all. And because forgiveness is a gift from God, strictly speaking, it is not something we do, but something we find ourselves entering into, a fruit of the Holy Spirit in us, a sign of the life of Christ in us, a sharing in the divine nature, a way of relating to others in which we find ourselves, by God's grace, becoming compassionate as the Heavenly Father is compassionate.